This is foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip: are there any logical reasons for our praying and worshiping of Allah? Welcome back, dear listeners. There are so many countless and innumerable blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And truly, due to these countless blessings, we need to be thankful. We must be thankful. How rude would it be if somebody came and gave you a gift, 10 gifts, 100 gifts, 1,000,000 gifts? But let's even just stick to that one gift. Is it not proper? Is it not human? Is it not good? Is it not honorable, noble, generous, kind to say thank you? And on the other hand, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom has given us so many blessings that honestly, if we were to sit and count, we could spend our whole lives counting and still not be able to encompass every blessing from Allah. So what should we do? Do we remain ungrateful? The Holy Quran says that ungratefulness is comparable to kufr, disbelief. And so we must be grateful. So what do we do? Well, one of the ways of showing gratitude, being grateful, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be subservient to Allah, to worship Him, and honestly, sincerely say thanks for Allah for giving us all of these blessings. As Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth divinely appointed Imam, eloquently says, "For every breath that Allah has given, this requires a shukr, a gratefulness, a thanking." And then he says, "For that shukr, the grace, the tawfiq of being able to give that shukr, that thankfulness, requires yet another shukr, another thanking of Allah." And because you were given the tawfiq, the grace, the blessing to say shukr again, to give thanks again, this in turn requires yet another shukr, another thanks. And this continues on and on and on.
The production of honey and the feeding of it to people is a result of compassion, mercy, and sympathy. Yet the bee has no compassion or mercy towards us. The proof of this is seen through a bee stinging us with its poisonous stinger when it has the chance. If the bee has no compassion towards us, then who is it that shows us mercy as well as compassion and that extracts honey from the bee? For the bee has a bigger duty to undertake than just inoculating flowers. It carries one flower flower's pollen to another to enable flower production. When the bee lands on a flower, pollen sticks to its sticky and tight hairs. The bee spreads the pollen from the first flower by subsequently landing on a separate flower from the same species. The performance of this duty yields an interesting display. For example, if a honeybee lands on a rose, it will not subsequently land on another type of flower until it is finished perching on all roses within proximity. The reason for this is that if the bee landed on different types of flowers, then pollination could not occur, since the bees would be carrying pollens from various flower types, and as a result, the generations of flowers would become extinct. Now we ask, how does the honeybee recognize flower types? Why is it making a tiresome journey so that flower production can continue? Who equipped the honeybee with hairs that are suitable for pollination? 5. It is an amazing deed to produce honey in the tiny belly of the bee and to prevent the honey from being contaminated by the poison that could destroy the organs. Could a dumb insect be an agent of such extraordinary deeds? Now we continue from the training of the honeybee to another scene. The temperature of a honeycomb has to be 35 degrees Celsius for the infant honeybees to be born. If the temperature dropped to 30 degrees Celsius, then all baby honeybees would die. Or if it rose to 40 degrees this time, disabilities or death would result. Yes, the temperature of a honeycomb must be exactly 35 degrees Celsius. Well then, does the temperature ever drop or rise? Of course, it drops and rises. However, the honeybees have found a solution to it too. When the temperature drops to 30 degrees, the bees mount on top of the honeycomb and try to raise the temperature to 35 degrees by shivering. They fulfill the role of a heater, so to speak. If the temperature rises to 40 degrees, they will flap their wings to cool the comb, as if they are fulfilling the role of a fan. Now, we ask the person who delegates this act of cultivation to coincidence. 1. How do the bees know that the temperature of the honeycomb has to be 35 degrees? Presumably, until you heard this information, you did not know either. How can an insect know something that the most intelligent of the creatures, the human, does not know? 2. Let us suppose that they do know. Then from where did they learn this technique of heating the comb? 3. Who taught them to flap their wings when the temperature of the honeycomb rises? 4. First of all, do the bees have thermometers to know the temperature? Of course not, because we have never seen a bee carrying a thermometer. So how do they measure the temperature? 5. Why is it so important for them that the infant bees live? Why do they not enjoy the remainder of their 1 or 2 week lives instead of preoccupying themselves with saving the babies? Who is the one who is making them work like dutiful soldiers? We only looked at 1 or 2 aspects of the honeybee and the training that takes place in relation to it. Dozens of pages can be written on the other characteristics of the honeybee, and hundreds of questions can be asked. While the training of only the honeybee cannot be explained, the different types of training of countless other creatures, such as fish, the silkworm, insects, other animals, and plants, appear in front of us. Is it possible that these hundreds of types of training are just works of coincidence? Or that these creatures learned them on their own? Could a person who has not lost his brain ever consider this as a possibility?
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now, dear listeners, Allah Himself said that if we tried to count His great blessings, we would not succeed in doing so. Our human duty and conscience demand that we express gratefulness and thankfulness for the divine favors, and thus establish prayer and worship, subservience and servitude, in gratitude for all these blessings. And we should also worship Allah, and we should become His servants, because He created us. We should not become the slaves of the materialistic East or the materialistic West. Prayer, dear friends, is an expression, a manifestation of gratitude to Allah and every wise, knowledgeable, intelligent, noble, honorable, and conscientious person realizes rationally, logically, and intrinsically the necessity of establishing salah, establishing prayer.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to this segment of Foresight. My name is Muhammad, and today I'd like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatul Shakin, the whispered prayer of the complainers. Please stay with me. My God, to you I complain of the heart that is hard, turned this way and that by tempting thoughts, clothed in rust and the seal, and of an eye too indifferent to weep in fear of you, and eagerly seeking that which gladdens it. My God, there is no force and no strength except in your power, and no deliverance for me from the detested things of this world save through your preservation. So I ask you by your far-reaching wisdom and your penetrating will not to let me expose myself to other than your munificence, and not to turn me into a target for trials. Be for me a helper against enemies, a coverer of shameful things and faults, a protector against afflictions, a preserver against acts of disobedience. By your clemency and mercy, O most merciful of the merciful.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
لبيك لك لبيك إن الحمد لله الله وحده لا شريك له سبحانه